Hello guys, this is Clint Locklear with Man Strong Podcast. We're going to talk about power today. And we're going to talk about taking your own counsel with what you believe. We're going to have a little bit of fun with the coup that's going on in our government right now, trying to unelect an elected official because they're afraid they can't beat him again. And then we're going to talk about actually the difference between strength and power and why you should know that. And if you choose, why you should train a little bit different to be a powerful male instead of just a strong male. But before we get into these topics, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They're in the trapping industry, the hunting industry, the calling industry. They've always got great deals. He's a distributor on a specific predator call, and I'm not really into that, but I've been to a deer show with Alan, and everybody seems to go gaga over these things. So if you're into predator calling, check the calls out. If you're into trapping, check him out. Honest people, good shipping, good rates, and they're dependable. And that's what you're looking for as a business partner when you're ordering online. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. So, you know, one of the things, I teach a business course online at growinganewbusiness.com. And one of the biggest things that I have trouble with new want-to-be entrepreneurs and business people is they think the product is the secret sauce. They think if they come up with a better mousetrap or they come up with a better product or a different product or they can put it in a place where it's not normally needed or thought it was needed but there's a need for it, that their business is going to go crazy. And having a great product is super important, but the messaging controls the sales. And whether we want to believe that or not, we're all very heavily influenced by what we hear. Now, we can look at the impeachment that's going on right now, and we can learn a lesson, and we can teach a lesson off of this when it comes to marketing, branding, and messaging about something. By the way, the Democrats right now are messaging what Trump did in Ukraine. And I think it's genius what they're doing. It's slimy. And they have an advantage because it can be repeated over and over and over and over again by an army of wannabe, but not really journalists that keep repeating the same thing. And we hear this over and over and over again. And it's human nature as a tribal species in the herd that after a while, when you hear it enough, you start believing it. Everybody does. Real men take counsel with their self when it comes to certain topics. And what I mean by this is it's up to the individual male, not the group, to understand what the truth of something is and to be able to look at things from a messaging side, or in the news they call it the spin, and really figure out what's going on without believing what you're told. And it's not easy to do because people are busy and they just want to have, especially in our time today, they want to have everything baby fed to them. And then, but the problem is the people that supply the baby food are giving you the food and you don't have any choice. Because if that's the way you're looking at news, you just look at headlines. So basically, the messaging that we're seeing is Trump called up Ukraine and tried to get his political rival, Joe Biden, back under investigation, which he was during the Obama campaign, because his son Biden got a job with an oil company that he didn't know anything about. He didn't know anything about the industry, could not speak the language. And I just came back from Costa Rica, and I can tell you, sitting on a board with a bunch of Costa Ricans that don't speak English, I would be wasting everybody's time being there because it doesn't make sense to me, and I really can't have any input because basically I'm hearing a bunch of gibberish because I don't understand Spanish. And this happened over and over while me and my wife was on vacation. So I can tell you just how fruitless it would be to have a non-speaking native tongue person on a board. It's a complete waste of time. They're paying him $83,000, I believe, is what the end total ended up being. About $3.5 million to Joe Biden's son going into the account where he has access to. And what Trump found out was basically the Democrats were actually colluding with a foreign government to throw the election in Ukraine into America. And there's all kind of proof of this. Absolute, rock solid proof. Now, there's two messaging things that I keep hearing over and over again, which from a messaging point of view, not a moral messaging point of view, but just from a messaging point of view, is pretty slick the way they're doing it. If you bring up Ukraine and corruption, all you hear is debunked and conspiracy theory. And nobody likes to sound like a dumbass. So if something is said to be debunked enough, eventually, most people go, well, it must be debunked. Everybody's saying that it's debunked. And the other is conspiracy theory, which is a weird term because conspiracy theory does not mean crazy. Conspiracy theory means basically that you've got, that you realize, like for example right now, the Democrats were doing everything they were accusing Trump of doing with a foreign power to throw the election in a democratic way. And there, like I said, there's all kind of documents, government documents, videos, corruption trials in Ukraine. People went to prison over this. The little black journal with Manafort has been found out to be a fraud. And they didn't even use it in the trial because they realized how sketchy it was. All of this stuff is considered a conspiracy theory. Now, conspiracy theory can be real. So let's say that me and my buddy Chip and Jeff and Carl and Tim, we all get together on one of our hunting trips and we decide we're going to go rob a bank. And somebody that's working there at one of these compounds hears us talking about robbing a bank and they start saying we're going to rob a bank. That is a conspiracy theory that we're going to rob a bank. And it's a true conspiracy theory. Now, if we weren't, and they saw that, one of his wallets fell out and there was a couple hundred dollars that fell on the ground and a bank just got robbed, they could have a conspiracy theory that we robbed the bank because they saw a couple hundred dollars. That's a false conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theories are not negative, are positive, depending on the context that you put them in. So when you hear conspiracy theory and debunked, it's messaging. It's not a honest way of messaging, but it is messaging. And the way that they're doing it is actually ingenious. And if you don't think that you're a victim to believing what the tribe tells you, I'm going to give you a couple examples. Erectile dysfunction is not a real thing. Not medically. So what I just said is a conspiracy theory. The facts of it is Viagra was actually designed to be a heart medicine. And through the trials, it did a sucky job at helping someone with their heart issues. But what it did was give a raging boner for hours, apparently. I've never taken it. I don't judge anybody that does. I've just never personally taken the little blue pill. But if you want to have sex and you're having trouble getting it up, you take Viagra and that problem is now fixed. Now, drug companies supposedly are supposed to make drugs to fix a problem. Well, up until Viagra, there was not a problem and there was no such thing medically as erectile dysfunction. We've all heard this term so much. We hear that it is a disease. We hear that it is a medical problem. ED, we've all heard this. Erectile dysfunction came from a drug company that went to a marketing company because they had to figure out a problem to be able to get the drug on the shelves. So a marketing company came up with the phrase erectile dysfunction, or nicknamed ED. This was many, 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 many years ago. Now, doctors even accept that erectile dysfunction is a medical condition. It was not done through trials. It was not done through the medical field. It was done through an advertising wordplay to make up a problem with men. That is how you have erectile dysfunction. And if you go to a doctor today and say you can't get it up, he's going to tell you you have this disease that was made up by a marketing company called an ED, or erectile dysfunction. When I was growing up, if you didn't want to have a heart attack, you did not eat cholesterol. We've all heard this. I guarantee you more than half the people that hear this will go, yeah, that's right, you eat a lot of cholesterol, you're going to have high cholesterol. Now, this came from a dude named Angel Keys that was trying to do good, I guess, and had a theory that didn't pan out, but he was very good at messaging and he didn't want to be a loser. So he beat his drum of what we considered a healthy diet of a lot of grains, a lot of plants, a lot of fruit, very low cholesterol. And people started falling over in about 10 years of heart problems. We've all heard this. We've all believed this. Every one of us, I guarantee you, at one time or another, just accepted if you eat high cholesterol, you're going to have cholesterol and you're going to plug up your veins. The opposite, though, is true when they ran studies. See, the cholesterol that's in your system does not come from your mouth. It comes from your liver. Cholesterol that is in your bloodstream is actually produced by your liver. It's going to produce more or less. It's less than 10% effect of how much cholesterol you've eaten. And they've done studies on this over and over, and it shows the same thing over and over. Eating cholesterol does not raise your blood cholesterol by any amount that makes any difference whatsoever. But I guarantee you, if you've got heart problems, you're still going to go to a doctor, and they're going to tell you to lower your cholesterol, which lowers your hormones, and it lowers your function of brains, and it lowers your testosterone, and it lowers how your skin reacts to certain things. It is a terrible thing to cut out because the body was designed to use a lot of cholesterol going in your mouth to feed certain parts of your body that does not end up in your blood. But it's a food source and a hormone source for your body. But we've all believed the messaging over and over again. And you can see the same thing trying to be applied to the impeachment coup with Trump. Real men take counsel with what they believe. Just because everybody believes it does not mean it's true. Just think about that when you hear all this stuff on the news. Just because every single journalist is saying it does not mean that it's true. Because if you were not an Obama supporter, everything you heard on the news was he was the greatest thing to ever happen to America, period. Just because they say it don't mean it's true. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit on Man Strong Podcast and talk about power. Power and strength is very different. It gets kind of complicated, but see, when you look up what power is over strength, you're moving an object with velocity. That's power. When you're talking about strength, you are moving an object, or you're holding an object still, or you're not letting an object fall. And you can be very strong, But you cannot, you can also not be very explosive. When you watch a bodybuilder lift weights the way most of them do, it's very slow, it's very controlled, it's very muscle to mind connection. They you know, they have very clean diets, they take a lot of drugs, and they build a tremendous amount of muscle. But that style of training does not build power. Power lifters, on the other hand, which is kind of ironic when you think power lifting and power, it makes sense that they're doing it. Now, when you watch somebody deadlift 900 pounds, it's not fast. But it really is. The bar's just not moving that fast. They're producing a lot of power to move that much weight over a certain amount of space. When you see a sprinter sprint, that is power. When you see a MMA fighter throw out a punch and you watch somebody get their bell rung, that is power, because there's velocity involved. Power and strength are similar but not the same. And you train for one very different than you would train for the other. Isometrics, and I don't want to go into this too heavy because this gets it gets crazy to try to explain. Isometrics, you can get strong by having weights that you can't move. So for an example, if you have a sticking point on a bench press, it's about 4 inches off your chest, you can put pins in a squat rack where the bar is going to be 4 inches off the chest, and you're going to push with all of your might for 4 to 6 seconds at a time, but you physically can't move it because you got a power rack sitting on top of it. You're making a tremendous amount of effort, but you're not having any velocity, so you're not really producing any power. But what happens when you go to bench press, you're stronger in that specific area of the bench press. But isometrics are not power. Think about jumping, running, punching, coming out of a chair fast, being in a fight, playing football, stuff like that. All those are related to power because it's explosiveness. And while I was on vacation, I read this book, and it was talking about power, and it was very intriguing, so I thought I would share kind of what this was. And it basically, it comes down to the beginning of the book is talking about a leopard in Africa, a young leopard. It's in a tree, it sees a gazelle, it gets up, it kind of like does the yoga pose, stretches its back, comes down out of the tree, calmly tracks the gazelle, and in 17 seconds, it runs it down, it kills it, and it starts it up a tree to protect it from hyenas. That is an example of extreme power. If you were at the mall, or at a movie theater, or at a grocery store, or at a anywhere for that matter, and you get a peckerhead that's decided that he wants to take your wallet, being strong is going to be helpful. Being powerful is going to be devastating to your opponent. Because instead of being strong where you're just going to grab somebody and try to wrestle them around, when you throw a punch with power, it's actually more power than you're throwing. So you can have someone that's very quick at throwing punches. I saw this in Thailand. We played around with some of the kickboxers. They were extremely fast, and for their size, I guess you could say they were powerful. But having a 103-pound kickboxer hit a 250-pound soldier 50 times, it's kind of frustrating, but you're not really hurting much. And then you have the 250-pound soldier land one lick on a 103-pound dude that's a trained speed hitter and lights out for the little Thai guy. Because the big American had power. the little Thai guy, that's not what they train for, is power. They train for lots of contact. Now, they have a lot of power in their legs, but they sure didn't seem to have very much power in their punches. If you've ever been hit by someone with a powerful punch, you will not forget it. That's how people get broke up. But hitting somebody without power, frustrating, not that much damage. So what this book was talking about was how to train power. And they led up to a lot of different things, different studies and different anecdotes of all the people that they've trained. And what they come up with was this system that they call the Quick and the Dead. And I'm pretty sure that's the name of the book. It's got a little, it's got a good-looking girl down on her stomach in a getting ready to do a push-up, and above her she's got a leopard. So if you want to go to Amazon and look it up, I'm pretty sure it's called Quick and the Dead. But that's their system. And they're talking about quick is powerful and slow strength is dead. And they're using animals for examples, like the leopards and stuff like that. So what they do is they have this little system down that I thought would be kind of interesting if you wanted to try to work on your power instead of just your strength, because I think it's important to be both. Because the more powerful you are, the more velocity you can move a bar or move a person or move an object, the more strength you're going to have. They're not completely separate. And I know this is probably sounding like muddy water about right now. But let's say that you're doing, you want to build power and you're going to build shoulders like a bodybuilder. Well, bodybuilder, what does he do? He will do side lateral raises and he'll do presses and he will do front lateral raises and rear lateral raises. And they're slow and controlled. In the Quick and Dead system, you're looking for things that are highly explosive. And one of the things that they really rely on are kettlebells. And they were giving examples of people that train for power that's pretty amazing. Like there's some 105-pound girls that can do kettlebell swings with good form that are 80 pounds a piece. So they're basically moving almost their body weight with their glutes, their hams, and their arms. Pretty impressive when you think about it. For me to do that at 280 pounds, I would have to do that with, I guess, about a 220-pound kettlebell. Don't even know if they make such a thing. Don't think I want to try to swing one. But a kettlebell swing is a pretty simple thing. You can, if you don't know what a kettlebell is, look it up online. It's a ball of steel with a handle on top of it. Not two handles, one handle. And on this kettlebell, you grab it with, on a kettlebell swing with two hands, and you start with it with your legs kind of bent, where it's kind of like underneath you and you're standing up, and you thrust your hips at the same time you pull up with your arms, and the goal is to get it about face to chin high. And there's going to be a little bit of a period where it floats in midair and it's going to come back down. You got to control that, or you're going to flip yourself upside down with a bigger kettlebell. So you've got concentric and eccentric exercise going on with one thing, but it's very explosive. So you're trying to move it up as fast as you can. The other exercise that you use with a kettlebell is called a snatch. So you've got it on the ground right in front of you, and you have one arm on it, and you try to, in one motion, bring it all the way up to your arm is straight above your head and you're standing up. To do that takes a lot of explosive power. Taking a dead weight and bringing it all the way to the top of your head. It's not slow, it's fast. And then they do push-ups. And they have a system, which I'm going to explain to you, between the push-ups and the kettlebell, that they do 2 to 3 times a week, depending if you can recover from 3 times a week. And then in a few months, you'll be amazed at how powerful you are instead of just strong. So the push-up. The push-ups, to keep yourself from wrecking your shoulders by pushing this hard, you don't put your arms straight out to your side. You, I mean, you know, where your arms are wide and your elbows are sticking up in the air like where your ears are at. You do not do that with a push-up. There's too much stress on your rotator cuffs. So, but you put your arms up next to your side and you start the push-up on the bottom, not the top. And your goal is to drive your body off of the floor. Not a controlled, super, you know, strict military type push-up. Your goal is to be able to, eventually, you'll have to put boxes on both sides of you because you're going to throw yourself off the ground so far that you can catch yourself on a 6 or 8 or 10 inch boxes that are on the side of you. But at the beginning, you're not going to be able to throw yourself off the ground. You know, I'm benching right around 300, and I cannot throw myself off the bottom of a push-up for 10 reps. I don't have the power yet to do that. I've got the strength to bench press a lot of weight, but I don't have the power just to throw my body weight off the ground like that for a whole grouping of these exercises. So your bench press, your arms are close to your side, and your elbows are actually above your back a little bit. And they're not up at your titties. They're actually at your rib cage, your hands. And when you come off of the ground, you're trying to throw yourself up in the air. So a kettlebell swing or a kettlebell snatch and a push-up. And these group of exercises to build power is kind of a low-tech, minimalist way to do this. So of all the things that they've learned, there's a lot of chemicals that go on in your body when you push them as hard as you're going to with explosive power. They have a system that's called 4-5 and 10-2. And 10-2 just means you do two sets of 10 repetitions, or you do five sets of four repetitions, or four sets of five repetitions. But your goal is 20 reps per set. So what you're going to do is, like on a kettlebell swing, you'll work up to the weight till you're really kicking your own butt to do 10 kettlebell swings with good form, and you do it as explosively as you can. You thrust your hips forward hard, and you raise as hard as you can with your arms to get that up above the front of your face. If you're starting out, probably a 40 pounder is probably going to kick your butt pretty good. I'm up to, I think, 61 pound kettlebell is what I'm doing right now with this. It's not as strong as the little girls are that they're talking about in the book. But you do it for 10 reps and you set it down. So what you're going to do is start a stopwatch or your phone for most of us today. You're going to start on the minute. So you're going to do, as soon as you hit a minute, you're going to do 10 reps as hard as you can, and then you're going to rest until the second minute comes. So, you know, you're only talking 15 seconds of exercise about. You got 45 seconds of rest. You do your second set, and then you wait a minimum, no cheating, of 3 minutes. And there's a lot of chemical reasons. You burn through a lot of ATP and creatine and stuff in your muscles, and you need to let that come back, or you're not going to be explosive. This is not something that's endurance-based. Think about if you actually got in a fight, you really need to be able to reach out and put someone's nose in the backside of their skull. That's what you're looking for with this. You're not trying to hit a punching bag for 10 minutes. You're building power. So 15 to 20 seconds is maximum on exercise time. And then after you do the 210, you will rest for a minimum of 3 minutes. More is fine, but never 2 minutes and 59 seconds. And you will do this four times. It's not a lot of reps. If you're doing the 4-5, you will do on the minutes five reps, rest to the end of the minute, five reps, rest to the end of the minute, five reps, rest to the end of the minute. And if you're truly being explosive, you're probably going to be stuck with the 5-4 for a while because you're not going to have the explosive power to do 10 full explosive reps. When you get done with that, you do your push-ups. It's the same thing. You start a clock. When the minute starts, you knock out 10 push-ups trying to throw yourself off the floor. And then you wait to the end of that minute, and then you'd repeat that. Then you wait a minimum of 3 minutes. See, the cool thing about this for busy people is if it's 15, 20 minutes later, you hadn't hurt anything by doing this, because you've got to let yourself rest to be explosive. Think of it like if you can bench press 225 for one time and maybe get half of another rep, you've maxed out your explosive power on a bench press trying to get that bar off your chest. But if you tried to wait 2 minutes and do another rep, you're probably not going to get a rep. If you wait 30 minutes, you're going to be able to do another rep, at least for so many times where your muscles just go, I'm done. That's kind of what you're doing with this Quick and the Dead program. And they change exercises, and you can look up different explosive exercises. You can do this with sprinting. You can do this with jumping up on a box. Please, if you're older, don't be jumping down from a box. It's too much force on your body. But you can jump up on something 10 times with all the power that you've got. You can do one-arm kettlebell swings, which is a butt kicker if you've never done that, with all the force you've done. And when they put their clients through this regimen of just, you know, two or three times a week, sorry about that, they gain on an average about 10 pounds of muscle from just doing this. And it's very explosive style muscle, which is really cool when you think about it. If you need to react to something, you need explosiveness, just like the leopard that's got to jump on the gazelle. And in real life, when something happens that you need power that's not in a gym or something like that, it's probably not going to be where you've got time to warm up and stretch and do all this. So if someone grabs your wife's purse and you need to react, you don't have time to warm up and get in that mindset and let me stretch this out. No, you've got to react like a leopard. And if you haven't trained like a leopard, where you're building power, because that's what a leopard is just nothing but bound up power, you're not going to react, even though you think you probably should be able to react that way, when you can't. So if you are trying to be bigger, stronger, faster as you get older or younger, work on your power. If you've got the system set up and you can use bands when you bench press and deadlift and squat, or even, you know, extensions or anything like that, but at least on the big three, you will find your power will raise tremendously, because it's a totally different thing than straight weight. But that's a lot more complicated system. Most gyms are not set up for bands. Most home gyms are not set up for bands. And it's not hard to run down to a sporting goods store and get a couple of kettlebells and really work on that. And everybody's got a floor, and if you got two arms, you can do push-ups. But remember, you're trying to shove the earth completely out of orbit when you do your push-ups. That's how much power you're trying to produce. And you might think that 40 reps is not enough. If you do it full force, you will find out that you're going to be cringing the next time you do them. So remember, always think for yourself, understand messaging and spin, and understanding that building power is very different than just building strength. But in more applicable ways every day, power trumps strength. But you got to train it. When we're older, really older, and you wonder why so many old people break their hips, they do not have the muscle nor the power in those muscles to be able to react when they're falling. And they break their hip. And then when an older person breaks their hip, they lose weight. And most people, when they get older, they get super thin because they don't eat enough protein and they don't train and they don't take care of their body. And all of a sudden they're 130 pounds, and then they get sick and they're 115 pounds. And they wonder why so many people die after breaking a bone when they get older. Most of that could have been stopped by building enough power to be able to control a fall. But if you don't train it, you don't have it. And I'm going to end this with a word that I learned in Costa Rica that I'm probably going to say very often just because I like the word. And it basically means get going. We used to say a phrase in the military, diddy mao, all the time, which is from Vietnam, which is basically get your butt in gear and get moving. Vamanos is very close to that. And every time we got off the bus, our tour guide would say this, and it's just a fun word to say. So, vamanos, and I will talk to y'all later.